All right, are you ready? Okay, we're gonna go ahead and begin our work session. Today is Tuesday, April 17th, it's 6:02 p.m. and we are meeting in the Spirit Coast Community Center. We are gonna start with a report from Andrew Jackson of Mountain Mountain Association of Governments.
Thank you. I am Andrew Jackson. I'm the Executive Director of Mountain Land Association of Governments, and I'll be going over different transportation taxes that we currently have or that are permitted by state code. And if you've got this first sheet, I don't know if it's
Getting printed out.
Okay. So you've got this one that explains the four corners shown up here on the diagram here. And I have to say that this is one of my favorite subjects. If my kids really want to get me talking, they'll ask, how's those four corners going? So there are eight different options to get the four corners. Those that are highlighted in bold, which are the first three corners on the left-hand side, are those that are adopted in Utah County. It's in section 5912 of the state code, and then you have for this first quarter, for instance, on the left-hand side, 5912, 2213 is the transit sales tax that's in Utah County. And then we have on the right side is another first quarter cent, 2215, which is adopted in parts of Salt Lake County and in Summit County and other places where it can go on actually as a city-by-city or town-by-town option. That first quarter, whether you choose a 2213 or 2215, 100% of that goes to transit. It first started in Utah County back in 1985 with Pearl Warren Horn, and then about 1989 went into Linden and Springville and Pleasant Grove and then American Fork, on throughout city-by-city in Utah County until 2011, Cedar Fort, Fairfield, Goshen, Genola, Elkridge, Woodland Hills, and the unincorporated area of Utah County were the only remaining areas within the county that didn't have that option in. And so in 2011, the state legislature put a provision in the state code that said that if the vast majority of your county was already in a transit district, then you can put in the remainder. So the county commissioners can actually do that in 2011. Unincorporated area and those six communities into 4%. Each one of these generates between $24 and $22 million a year in Utah County, and we'll get into that in just a second. The second quarter cent is 2216 that Utah County has. That was put in really about 2006, mainly going to the front runner. 87% goes to front runner, 5% was for BRT, and 8% was for roads. And you'll see that that quarter cent is not a true quarter, but it's a 0.30. And that was because after that was put in 2006, the state legislature changed and took that funding off of food, that tax off of food, sales tax off of food. And so in order to make up the difference between the loss and food not being taxed, they allowed the county to take that up to a 0.3. So the county commission did that. However, it still was probably a $4 million, $3 to $4 million loss. At that time, it was about a $5 million loss, but we made some of that up, even with that increase going from a quarter to 0.3. The third quarter cent, 5912-2218, is in Utah County. That was done in 2009 as an administrative action of, it was an action of the county commission. So the first two quarters were put in by vote of the public, except for the corporate area of Utah County on the first quarter. The second quarter was voted public. Almost 70% of the people voted in favor of that second quarter. And then the third quarter cent was put in when was it enacted. We had the I-15 core project, and Utah County was required to put $65 million towards the I-15 core project. And state law at that time allowed that quarter to be put in without a vote of the public. And so that was done by the county commission. The county commissioners went to Mountain Land Association of Governments. And let me know how, when you want me to end.
No, you're fine. Fine.
I could go on and do a dissertation on this. I hope I can show my excitement to you how exciting this is to talk about. Anyway, at third quarter sent, the county commissioners went to the mayors in Utah County at the MPO meeting, asked for their support to enact that tax. I got unanimous support from the Utah County mayors to enact that, so the county commissioners enacted that quarter cent sales tax. That third quarter is the funding that generates the money that goes on to taking vote and working for funded out of that, as well as the IFT project. It can go to roads, transit, airport, trails, and other things. The mayors and the county commissioners are in the projects, and the county commission spends that money on those projects. To note is with BRT was funded out of the second quarter cent sales tax because it was taken off the food. There wasn't enough money to do BRT out of the second quarter cent. The first quarter cent, which is solely for transit, has the money to do BRT. They just won't have the money until about 2025, 2026. So there's a loan out of the third quarter cent sales tax to the first quarter cent and second quarter cent sales tax, which will be paid back wholly, all the principal, interest, and time value of money about 2026, 2027, 2028. UTA will pay back that entire amount out of the first quarter cent sales tax. So they have bonds in place that will be paid off prior to that time, and then they can wholly pay a lump sum payment to pay back the third quarter completely. So they want to be a mayor in 2027, 2028, because we'll have $50 million that year spent on roads. The fourth quarter cent, also referred to as Proposition 1, which went before the public in Utah County a couple of years ago and was defeated. I think the vote count was 41-59, I believe was the percentage breakdown on that. That's 59-12, 22-19, and at that time there was only the option that 40% of that quarter would go to transit, 40% would go to cities, towns, and the county, and then 20% would go to the county. And we'll talk about what that means in dollar amounts in just a minute. And that was defeated at a vote of the public. Last year, this last legislative session, the legislature approved SB 136, 200 plus pages of bill. It had the portion with the UTA coming under control of UDOT, changes in the governance of UTA, as well as changes in the sales tax for transportation, and a few other things. And what they added in to that is this fourth quarter option on the right, still within 2219, which says essentially that the county has 4 years now to adopt this fourth quarter cent sales tax. If they don't adopt it by June 30th of 2022, the option to adopt it goes away. They can adopt it anywhere from May 8th of this year until June 30th of 2022. If they don't adopt it within the first 2 years, so by June 30th, 2020, the cities have an option to adopt this fourth quarter sales tax, with the funds going 50% to UTA and 50% to the cities and towns. And then the cities also have until that June 30th of 2022 to adopt it. If the county adopts it countywide prior to that, then the cities don't have that option. If the county does not enact it, then the cities have that option. If some of the cities adopt it and then the county decides to adopt it in, let's say, June 1st of 2020, any areas that hadn't adopted it by the time that the county adopted it, then it would go to that first split of the 40-40-20. Any cities that had adopted it prior to the county adopting it, it stays in that 50-50. Percent breakup.
So the county gets nothing?
They would only get, if they adopted only in those areas that did not adopt it. And how it's written right now, it doesn't allow them, if they choose, yeah, so they would have to go with that force. But the county does not have a 50-50 option in the unincorporated area. The county only has a 40-40-20 split. If you could go through this section of your handout.
That one got printed out.
Do you have the screen?
Does it say fourth quarter stat projected?
Percent by city?
It's emailed to you. If you don't have it, paper copy in front of you, the email's sent to you with the attachments.
So what we're estimating is a fourth quarter cent, our quarter cent sales tax will generate about $22 million. That's based off their most recent county budget analysis. And then this shows percent of sales tax by area. So Utah County generates the unincorporated area generates 1.66% of sales tax, of the entire sales tax in the county. And Cedar Hills, for instance, your number five there was listed alphabetically after Utah County. You generate about 1.33%, and that shows about what your percentage would be. And then you can see like the Horns and the Provos and Lehigh and what they generate as a percent of overall state sales, overall sales tax within the county. If you go to the next one on that, it will show fourth quarter cent projected first option. And so this shows in this fourth quarter cent, that first option on the left, where it goes 40-40-20. So what happens is, in that first 40% that goes to cities and towns, there's also an option that goes to the county. It's based off of population and point of sale. And so the county would receive a portion out of that, out of the cities and towns portion. And Cedar Hills would receive about $118,000 out of that 40%. The total amount of the 40 is $8,800,000. UGA, which received $8,800,000. And then the county gets a 20% portion solely to the county, and that is about $4.4 million that they would get. Again, 98.66% of that is generated in the incorporated area. The state, when they changed the legislation this last year, and it was just signed, the ceremonial signing was this afternoon up at the Capitol with the governor. The state legislature put an incentive there to try and get counties to enact this tax. So for the all of the money, 100% of the money that's generated between when the county enacts it and June 30th of 2019, which would be essentially the year if they adopted in June of this year, the county would get 100% of that funding to be used for transportation debt reduction, transportation projects, or transit projects. So for the first year, if the county enacts this fourth quarter cent, they would get $22 million that first year, solely going to the county. And then years two through the duration of that tax, it would be split on that 40-40-20 option. Additionally, the state legislature also put in there that any of those second, third, and fourth quarter cent sales tax that are not enacted in any county can be put in without a vote of the public. It can be put in just as a legislative action. So whether it's the county doing that first option on the fourth quarter, or the cities and towns putting in the second option on the fourth quarter, it can be put in just as a vote of the legislative block without a vote or any question of the public. If you can look on the next sheet in there, it will show the fourth quarter cent projected second option, which is the cities and towns option. So it is not in the incorporated area, the unincorporated area of Utah County. So there's a slight reduction from the $22.2 million to $21.8 million. However, Cedar Hills portion would go from $118,000 up to $296,000 that the city would get. It would be $148,000, so it goes up just slightly. And then the other half will go to the U3. Again, the city doesn't have that option until July 1 of 2020. It would have to be done by July 1 of 2022 is the last time it would have that, then that option goes away. Other counties, Davis County has the first, the second, and fourth quarter, but they don't have the third quarter. Additionally with that, the state legislature would also allow us that if you have all four quarters in, there is a fifth option. So there's an additional option. Once you have all four quarters in, then you can go to another 0.20, so a fifth instead of a quarter, and that is 100% goes to UTA. And so with the county or the city or town council, it either requires nor prohibits going to a vote on the public to enact that. Of the 200 plus pages of the bill, I've taken out those sections that specifically deal with this fourth quarter, so that you don't have to look through all the governance changes in UTA, et cetera, and highlighted those sections specifically to this section of the code. Additionally, one other thing to be aware of, you should have a thing that says BNC road fund increase with our schools now ballot initiative. Yesterday, the governor signed HB 491. So there was, the our schools now folks were going to put a ballot initiative to increase the income tax by 0.78%. The legislature didn't think that was a good idea. And so they worked out an agreement where currently we have about 18% of the general fund sales tax generation throughout the state is auto related. So buying cars, buying tires, buying air fresheners and windshield wipers, that generates about 18% of the overall state sales tax. Hmm. And so we worked with Speaker Lockhart 10 years ago to move that to where it went from half of that up to the full 18% of the sales tax in the state goes into transportation. We also have a couple other earmarks, like a 1/64th for corridor preservation, blah, blah, blah. So the total amount of impact that transportation gets out of the state's general fund is around 22%. With this, our schools now initiative, what they've worked on is an agreement where they'll put this non-binding opinion question on the ballot in November. People can respond whether they're in favor to or opposed to increasing gasoline tax about 10 cents a gallon. Currently it's 29.4 cents a gallon based off of the rack rate of gasoline. But this would add another 10 cents per gallon to that. There are A, B, and C road funds that are funded, except B road funds, that are funded out of the gasoline tax. A road funds are state roads, B road funds are county roads, and C road funds are city and town roads. And so here the B and C road funds, that's county and city. And that comes out of the gasoline tax. In this initiative, the gasoline tax will be increased 10 cents per gallon. That generates, I don't have the exact number, $75 million. That will go into UDOT. And then that exact amount, dollar for dollar, would come out of the general fund that's going to UDOT for transportation projects and go into the schools initiative. Now, the good part about this, and why I'm hoping that Susan Towns will support the Our Schools Now effort, is that that is only 70% of the gasoline increase. The other 30% goes to cities and towns for the BNC road funds. And so you would be likely to see about a 30% increase in your B&C road funds. So I've got it calculated off of last year's figures that Cedar Hills gets about $300,000 in C road funds, and then you would go up an additional $105,000 in road funds. And it wouldn't be anything that you're enacting, it would be supporting our schools now, or then the users of the roads who buy gasoline pay for the roads more at a great proportion than what they are based off of sales tax support for roads. And then I guess if there's any questions on this and how the funding can be used, any questions or anything that I need to clarify.
Thank you. So, Council, the reason why I asked Andrew to come out was because, assuming that the county doesn't pass the fourth quarter, I don't know which way they're leaning. I've been told that they're not liking it because there's still 40% that goes to transit, which they don't like.
Yes. So, this bill that passed was a sixth substitute, and there were probably four substitutes within the last couple of days of this passing, and the sixth substitute was towards the end of the second to the last day. The fifth substitute had 40% going to the cities, 20% to the county, and then the 40% that was transit actually would go to the county, and the county would put it out for a competitive bid. However, that was changed between the fifth and the sixth substitute back to the original 40-40-20 split. So that transit portion doesn't go to the county anymore. So in effect, Utah County would be imposing a tax that they only have about 22% of the revenue from. So 78% of the revenue would go to other entities, cities, towns, and TA. So in the discussions prior to when they were going to get the majority of the funding, they were more anxious to look at it, and since it's back to its original Prop 1 language, then they weren't, in my discussion, they haven't been so interested in looking at it.
So, assuming the county does not pass the fourth quarter by June 30th, 2020, as Andrew was stating, then this council is going to have to decide whether or not to implement it at the city level. And of course, we can talk about our schools now in a ballot initiative as well, and I believe that MAG is looking for cities to support that effort because it generates revenue for needed road projects that we have. I know Pleasant Grove just implemented a road fee charter. What is that, $7, $8 a month?
It's based on, it's about $8 a month for residential property, and then it goes up quite a bit for commercial properties. It accelerates quite a bit based
right.
on your usage.
So Pleasant Grove just enacted a road fee. Highland just enacted a road fee of $18.50 per household per month. Cities are struggling to pay for their streets. The money that's coming in isn't sufficient, and we've been lucky that we haven't gotten to that point yet. But if you remember that map that Chandler showed you where there's going to be a time where all of our roads are going to hit us all at once that need to be repaired. So we're looking at how we're going to take care of our roads. And so that's where MAG is asking us to support that, the Our Schools Now initiative, but also we need to decide or start talking about if the county doesn't impose that in 2 years and we have the option, is that something that we want to do? So are there questions you would have on that for Andrew or?
So why wouldn't we? What's the negative?
It's tax. Some people are opposed to a tax. It's in addition to the sales tax. And then most of the feedback I've heard, most of the pushback that I've heard are from people who don't like that portion that goes to transit.
Yeah, I mean, they've always said that.
But that's not, we can't exclude that. That's, the state has told us exactly how that money is split.
Maybe if I could add a little bit to this, up in Salt Lake County, Prop 1 failed 49-51%, so it was very, very close. And UTA has made some changes since that time. So if I understand what we're doing up there is the cities are getting together and the county will look at passing a resolution that says we will do this tax countywide once we get something between 50% and 80% of the community's population passes resolutions supporting us to enact the tax. So that's the price that they're going to give. They were a 49-51 split. We were a 40-60 split here. And one thing that we want to try and get from the mayors is an understanding of, do you want the county to try and do something? Would you support county doing countywide? Or would you rather have the county just stand back and let this first right of refusal after 2 years go to the cities and towns to enact it, and then anybody that doesn't enact it, then the county enact it. Additionally, you know, people change, personnel change, et cetera. As I've talked with Mary Delmore Schaefer from ETA, who's done a great job there recently. She's been put in as our kind of area district manager. Before you would enact this, you know that the county's not going to do it. You'd have some time to prep up, get opinion polls from people, et cetera. But then you can work out an agreement with UTA and say, look, we've got this portion that we're generating within Cedar Hills. What can you do for us? It might be some type of micro transit, a smaller vehicle, or some type of a Uber transit, or maybe something where you have people that live here that are driving over to the front runner station. You might be able to do some type of a early morning route, and then evening route on a micro basis instead of having like a bus that you do here that takes you all the way into Orem to a transfer station and then takes you back out to Lehigh. You'd actually be able to do something.
So that way those transit dollars are generated in our city are benefiting the people who live in the city.
Yeah, so if I were any of you, I would try and get with ETA, you know, a year before you're looking to enact it and say, what does this generate? What can we do with it? What is in reality what we can do? It might be just, you know, some timber lands or something like that that then benefit a certain percentage of the population that's not the others.
So from my perspective, as we're looking down the line and we're looking at everyone around us and we're looking at our own street plan, we're making this decision of either we support and want to implement this, or we're going to support and implement a road fee or a property tax increase. But at some point, we're going to need more revenue coming in to handle our infrastructure needs for streets.
So it's to me that this is getting implemented by the way, there's a second floor.
Well, no, this is the, our schools now will be on the ballot.
Oh, this is the schools now, this is different.
Yeah, that will be on the ballot this November for people to vote on.
Just an opinion.
Whether or not it should
Non-binding. There's an agreement with the legislature that if our schools now is backed off of having a binding ballot initiative, if they went to non-binding and see how it went and this change around with the taxes, I would think it would be pretty hard after the legislature made an agreement with our schools now to not do something if there was a big in the cost.
And now the fourth quarter sales tax, if the county has until 2022, as do we, if they don't pass it by 2020, if at 2022 either the county or the city passes it, it goes away. We can't do it after that. It's just not.
And that's not to say some future legislature could change things or change the whole makeup. We're going to have a different speaker, we're going to have a different president of the Senate. You know, the legislature will change things. So.
I think this is much more palatable than the road fee. I think the city will see that too. It's easier to know what you're on to do it this way rather than implementing the road fee. I'm in favor of it.
Any other questions?
I'd like to see what the projections are with this. The project at the gate. So it always concerns me when we talk about gas tax, but all you hear about is electric.
Right, yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So they did also make some changes in this SB 136 that increases the registration fee for electric vehicles to kind of offset a little bit of that gas tax loss, as well as they're going to be doing, this year we're doing a road user charge subgroup looking at where the electric vehicles, because they say, hey, we don't have the range that other vehicles do, so we just have short trips, we're taking fewer of those short trips, and so they can actually opt into an option where they can pay a per mile charge equivalent to a vehicle. And then there's also a lot of people say, well, you know, we're going to be autonomous vehicles and we won't need as much lanes, et cetera, but I remember back when computers came into being in the office, you know, the personal computers, and everybody said, oh, we'll go paperless, we won't have any more paper, and all that kind of stuff. Well, compared to the paper that I generated when I was typing with a typewriter and a paper I generate now, it's not paperless. There's, you know, you have a little error here, you reprint it, but if you were typing it and you had the mimeographic and all that kind of stuff, it changes exactly into a lot fewer papers than you do now. So they're actually saying when they go to autonomous vehicles, it may actually be more because a kid wouldn't have to wait for mom or dad to get home. If they need to go to soccer practice, they could just get an autonomous vehicle, take them to soccer practice here and there and all the places. So they're thinking they'll actually increase the miles traveled.
That's good enough. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great day. And if you have any other questions when we come back, and Mayor Reese is on our MPO board and is attending our MPO finance meetings, so we'll be discussing this next day or Thursday and a half, whatever. We'll be talking about this with all the mayors and stuff, and get input to her so that when she comes to the meetings, she can say, well, this is my council's bill, this way or that way.
Thank you. Well, and I just want to say on behalf of Cedar Hills, we really appreciate all that you do. I was impressed with how much, like you said, Andrew was at the Capitol during this whole process, and that these bills are just changing every day, sometimes a few times a day. And he was always on top of it, knowing exactly what was happening and providing feedback and letting us know what we needed to do as we were working through this process. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, I will take a motion now to go into closed session. That's the one on the work session agenda.
I will make a motion that we go into closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205 to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property and to discuss the sale of real property.
Thank you. I have a motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. Let's see, we'll do a roll call. Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth? Councilmember Dennis?
Yes.
Councilmember Anderson?
Yes.
Motion is unanimous. We will move into closed session.